Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger. I own over 150 sex toys, a significant portion of which are for impact play. You might say, I have a kink. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a blogger, and I am sitting in front of a wall of my impact toys right now, so...
I am looking at said wall.
Ooh. We're in the same room, guys!
We're also in the same room as our very special guest today. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kenton, a former chef, former respectable member of society, and now prefer to pour goo in specially designed holes and call myself a fucksmith.
So this is the most badass thing. Your title is fucksmith. Do you know of any other fucksmiths? Are you the only one?
I don't know if any other sex toy designers call themselves a fucksmith, but I stole it completely blatantly from a comic called Oglaf, where there's this guy who has this, like, full costume shop and will make your fantasies come true to some extent. So people bring, like, their sex dreams to him, and he'll have, like, the goose costume for that weird goose sex dream, and someone's in the background throwing snow, and he tries to make the atmosphere as good as possible. So I'm using it incorrectly, but I don't feel bad about that.
I mean, that's what we do with a lot of sex toys, is we kind of pervert them and use them incorrectly, but it works. So, you entered into my awareness because you have a company called Funkit Toys. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I go with Funkit, emphasis on the second syllable, so people don't think it's funk.
Right.
Because I am not funky at all. But, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, because I always just thought of it as being the word funk as a substitute for fuck, but I'm gathering that you have opinions about how that is not correct.
Small opinions.
Yeah.
It's fun and kit, because there are fun kits.
Right, gotcha. But you do, we were talking about this last night when we went for drinks, you like format your logo so that the N is a sideways N and it looks like a C, and my friend Taylor texted me and he was like, what's up with Funkit Toys? Like, their logo says Funkit Toys. Like, what's happening there? And I was like, no, it's a sideways N. But it really
I
does.
Definitely did that too. I was like, Kenton is spelling his name wrong. I am confused.
It is pretty deliberate. Like, one of the founding principles of Funkit Toys is to trick the Virginia State Corporation Commission, I think is the correct term for them, into letting me name a company Funkit Toys. So.
Excellent.
That's an important part.
So part of your credo with your company is you're all about toys that are gender neutral, and we've definitely praised you on our podcast before for that. Like, what was your thinking behind that decision?
Gendering things sucks and is boring, for one thing. And it also narrows who thinks a thing is for them. And if you want someone to look at a toy and go, hey, I could use that, which, as someone who makes their living selling toys, you do. Like, not just as an inclusivity thing, but as a, I don't want to narrow my market thing.
Right.
It's important that you say, you don't say, men's toys, women's toys, this goes in a vagina. Like, and I try and keep it as inclusive as possible, because, like, the G-spot and the prostate are not all that different design-wise. Like, what you do to make something hit it. Give it a curve, it works. So,
one of the things I say at work all the time when I'm selling either G-spot or prostate toys is, like, I'll give it to someone. And a lot of things people ask, like, especially when they pick up, like, the booty plug or something like that, is, like, what direction do I wear it in? Like, where do I point the curve? And, like, I'll hand someone something and I'll be like, point it towards the belly button. Doesn't quite matter which hole or what body you're putting it in. Just curve towards the belly button. For the most part, you're going to hit something good. Like, that's pretty much anything going in a hole, generally curve towards the belly button.
Those anterior walls.
I think one of the most useful things I've learned from being a sex nerd is, like, how similar all of our bodies actually are, and, like, how analogous all of our genitals really are, because, like, yeah, the narrative in our culture is so much about how they're so different and they have such different needs, but, like, there are so many similarities, more so than differences, I think.
Which is kind of amusing, because, like, one of the main sex educator, like, tenets, like, if we had 10 commandments of sex education, one would be, like, everybody is different, but we're also just like, yeah, but I mean, like, they're all pretty similar. Like, everyone's different now. We're all made up of the same goo. Like,
the same stuff arranged in different ways.
So tell me about how you got into making sex toys. Like, how long has this been a dream of yours, and how did you enact that dream?
I don't know how long it's been a dream of mine.
Little 6-year-old Kenton just like, one day.
When I grow up.
I am going to put rainbows in people's holes. I'm going to make a dildo.
No, it's, I started playing around with someone who liked butt stuff, spanking, anal, whatever, and I didn't have anything for that.
Anything with butts.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, like, that was this person's deal. And, I didn't have anything for that, so I got the everything for that at the time, the Tantus Plunge. Ooh. And it was supposed to arrive in a week, and I went, I don't want to wait that long. I'm gonna make something.
It'll be faster to completely learn how to do this new skill.
Well, that was with wood, so it was faster. I just cut something out of a bit of pine board I had left over from another project, and then came up with another idea for something I could do with that, and made that. And then I made one for a kinky friend's birthday party. And then I got another idea that was the, like, the S-curve handles, and I made that. And then I was sitting around with a pile of them at a kink club with said kinky friend and a couple of other people. And someone walks up and was like, hey, those are really cool paddles. Do you sell them? And I look up and go, sell?
Now I do.
So we talked a bit, and I figured out a reasonable price. Started an Etsy store, and it was called Beat Cleaver Paddles. And that was November of 20... No. That was February of, like, 2014. Mm. And then in No, was it? Yeah. Sorry, 2015. February of 2015. Then in, like, November, I started ordering silicone, because I wanted to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And started Funkit Toys in April.
I think one of the interesting things about your paddles, though, too, is you've taken some of your culinary background, or correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, you took some of your culinary background from them, and they're kind of balanced, like, the knives you would work with, and, like, shaped in that way, right?
Yeah, it's designed to be picked up in the pinch grip. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it pretty quickly. For, like, chef's knives, you know, just hold it in your hand, and it works for me. It gets a better, like, wrist action. You can get more dexterity with it. I'm waving it around. You can't see any of this. But,
it's real pretty, because the paddle is also a rainbow.
It's so gay.
Can I ask you, I get so nerdy about impact and kind of, like, the physics of impact play and those toys, and I'm curious, like, what do you think makes a good impact play toy? Like, how do you make an impact play toy that feels good and that works well?
If it's easy to swing, that's kind of the important thing for me. I try and balance the weight a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my early ones were very heavy wood with a very small handle, and needless to say, those tire you out really quickly. I don't know all that much, I would say, about what makes an impact play toy good. I just kind of experiment. I look at what people are doing, mm-hmm. and I try and make it comfortable to hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they end up being pretty uncomfortable to be hit with, so that's kind of the point. And it goes from there. I've done a lot of trial and error, for sure.
Yeah, the way you kind of tell that story, it was like, this person seems like one of the first people that was like super into impact that you were with. Did you have like a background in impact, or were you like, this person wants it, I'm gonna learn how to do it?
Yep, pretty much. I encounter a problem, I learn a skill, and then I do the
thing. Then you make a business out of it.
Apparently.
I mean, I think it's really cool that you, like, I feel like a lot of people who try to make impact play toys are just like, it's just a thing to hit people with, and they don't, like, put thought into it, but I see on your website, like, you even have You let people choose how many layers they want for their paddle, as far as, like, going from stingy to thuddy. So, like, for me, I know I like thuddy stuff, so you brought me this paddle today, which is 5 layers out of a possible 6, so I imagine that it's going to be pretty thuddy.
It's still fairly stingy, but it's not, like, super stingy like the 2-layer ones are.
Yeah, and also, if you turn it sideways, it's going to be, like, a... I was about to say I'm resisting the urge to beat myself with it right now because we're recording a podcast and it doesn't make for great audio, but nope, not resisting that urge. I'm going to put it down so I continue to resist that urge. How much do you take customer feedback into account when you're designing toys?
I haven't actually gotten a whole lot of feedback. I do send them to a lot of, like, friends and bloggers, though, and I definitely take that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my customers don't do much feedback, and I'm working on encouraging that more with emails and follow-ups a few months later and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ordered a toy from me in the past couple weeks, expect an email in a month or two about, hey, you've probably played with this, how'd it work? What can I improve?
Just a guess, this might have gone in your holes.
I mean, hopefully. I mean,
or someone's holes.
Some of your toys are pretty enough that I would just display them, but also kind of want to stick them in my holes. I know that one of the things that you do, which I think is really cool, which actually Bex told me about, is that you try to make at least one product a month, so that you're always working on new stuff. And I just think that's really, like, you know, there are some companies who come out with a thing and then don't come out with anything new for years. Like, how do you even come up with that many ideas?
I actually have a backlog right now of 6 completed designs because I just come up with something and make it. The prototyping is super easy. It takes like 3 days to get a prototype, and if I don't have to make any edits to it, which occasionally I do, then it just comes out, or mm-hmm. I'll, you know, wait until next month or the month after.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much... It's not so much an issue of how do I come up with it as how do I stop. That's the problem that I have. So, yeah. There have to be at least 40 totally random off-the-wall files on my computer that will probably never happen. And doing, like, the full prototyping process and printing a miniature model and testing, I couldn't really do more than... 2 a month, realistically. I did 3 in November, and that was hell. But, it happened. I just wouldn't do it every month.
Yeah.
It's just something I do to stay occupied, really.
Mm-hmm. I can kind of identify with that, because I have, like, over 60 drafts in my WordPress right now of blog posts, because sometimes, especially when I'm, like, kind of manic, I just, it's like constant ideas, and the problem is not, like, coming up with ideas, it's like having the energy and time to, like, actualize them
mm-hmm.
and make them into a thing. But I think that's a pretty good problem to have, probably.
Yeah.
So one thing I think that is interesting that really made, like, Funkit stand out when you guys started is that your one of the only toy companies since, like, Chavez Designs, whenever they were around, that actually uses clear silicone or, like, cloudy clear silicone.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about a little bit about, like, the decision-making process? And from what I've heard from a lot of people, it's hard to work with.
Decision-making process. You lend me too much credit. I stumbled upon it, and it ended up being perfect. And so I used it. There were a couple silicones that I worked with ahead of that, but it was food grade, and that's what I wanted, like, chef background, so if it's safe for putting food in, it's safe to come in contact with your mucous membranes, which means it's pretty sex safe. So I worked with that. I tried upgrading to medical grade, and a sex toy store merchandiser talked me out of it, because it's overkill at that point. But, yeah, I used it, and it worked, and I kept going with it. I have a lot of filtration to make sure that there aren't, like, bits of fluff in there. Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't recommend starting out with it. It took a lot of trial and error to get it to work. I built a clean room cabinet in my house to make it work better. And, yeah, like, every step of the silicone use has some kind of filtration going on. There's a 5 micron filter on the vacuum chamber intake. There's a jury-rigged computer fan and vacuum filter on the clean room cabinet. It's a lot of extra work to do clear, because if there's anything in that, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that means that toys fail all the time. I have a shelf of toys that have some, like, one of my cats somehow managed to get a fucking hair in there between the pour and the putting the cap on the top.
Mm. Love but, a good cat dildo.
Oh, yeah.
You get really technical about this stuff, which I find charming as a fellow nerd, although often I'm like, what are you talking about?
What is FDA certified food grade Shure 18A platinum silicone not super understandable to everyone?
I mean, not no. Could you explain, like, I'm five, what is the process of making a silicone dildo?
Like, you're five, hold on. So I have this triangular prism that I import files from my computer into, mm-hmm. and then it turns hard plastic wire into hot goo, and the hot goo turns into cold goo in a shape that I tell it to make. Mm-hmm. I take that shape, I pour a solvent into it to make it smooth, I pour the solvent out very quickly, otherwise it melts, and then let it dry, and then I pour different goo, which I've mixed together separately, into it, put it mix some colors in, put the cap on, and then wait a day, and then pull it out with soap and water.
Cool. That was pretty good. I do like your assumption that a five-year-old would know what solvent is, but...
I was a weird five-year-old.
I mean, I was a five-year-old who knew what a vagina was. I guess that's not that weird, because I had one.
Yeah. Nice vagina.
That was a throwback. Okay, so one of the things you made that I love so much is the Signet. And do you want to explain what the Signet is?
The Signet is a textured, non-vibrating silicone ring that you just stick on your finger, either as jewelry, or you stick it on the other side of your finger to diddle yourself or someone else. It's great for nipples, clits, whatever. And even just, like, massage, you just use it to add a little bit of texture for hand sex or whatever else you would be doing that you want a bit of squishy texture on your fingertip for.
Yeah, and I think that this is a really, really cool concept and a really brilliant idea, because, like, the sex toy industry is just inundated with things that vibrate, and, you know, they're great. I love them.
Since
but...
1869.
Yeah, but it's like, sometimes you want... Like, what I really like about the Signet is that it just amplifies a sensation that is already existent in humans. And, like, I hate when people are like, sex toys make humans feel replaced and, like, they do a human's job better than a human. But, like, there is something nice about a sex toy that really just amplifies what a person is already doing. Do you have any other concepts in the works for toys that also, like, kind of amplify human motion?
There are, but they were mostly after the Signet once that succeeds, because they're all kind of difficult to mold and something that I really couldn't make easily myself with the processes that are available to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, next time I have a Signet crowdfunding thing, or manage to get enough money to do it myself,
mm-hmm.
then maybe we'll see some of that after it. But it's something I think about a lot. It's just a little more technical to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, if you had access to anything and everything that you needed, do you have, like, a dream sex toy that you would build?
The very first toy that I really fully designed in my head has still not been made, because I don't have the right stuff to get it done. And I don't really talk about it much. It's sort of a company secret.
Mm-hmm.
There is a picture of the sheet that I did the original design on the website. There are a lot of pictures on the website of things that haven't been released that no one notices. It's full of Easter eggs. But I haven't gotten any commentary on that. Like, a lot of the designs will show up the month before in the background of whatever I upload to the store, the SWAT in particular. There were some mini SWATs in a lot of the store uploads the month before the SWAT came out. But, yeah, it all depends on kind of how on top of things I am, how much I work in.
And I know you want to get into working with glass.
Oh, yeah. I would love to work with glass.
Yeah. What would you make out of glass? I'm curious. I'm trying to imagine what a Fungate glass toy would look like, and I'm just seeing, like, alien dildos in my head.
And colors.
Yeah, I don't know enough about glass to know what I would make and what would come out of that. It's a totally new material to me. I've never really worked with things that have to be hot to move, and so it seems like something I'd have a lot of fun learning with.
Me and Bex just made the same joke at each other without speaking. Sorry. You said
it needs to be hot to move.
Me and Bex just looked at each other, and I could tell we were both like us.
We, actually did finger guns across the room.
I was watching that and having trouble holding it together while I finished the sentence. It was pretty adorable.
So, one of the things I like about you is that you seem to, really delight in hearing about how people use your products. Like, when you sent me a Signet and I used it with my fuck buddy who's, amazingly good at finger banging, I was tweeting gleefully about how that went, which is, at first I wasn't sure, if it would actually do anything, because I was almost like, he's so good at finger banging, what if it just kind of makes it harder for him to do what he does so well? But in fact, as soon as he put it on and started finger banging me, I was like, oh, okay, and then just started, rolling around and making a lot of noises, to the point that he laughed at me and said, oh, you like that, huh? And I was like, yes, I do. what is it like to know that people are fucking with your things that you made?
It's kind of what they're designed for, so not all that surprising, but I mean,
it's not surprising, but, I don't know, I feel like you seem to be, particularly gleeful about it.
Yeah, it's just, all bodies are different, everyone responds differently to different sensations, so every time I hear about one more person for whom this worked, it's a good thing. I really enjoy that. Because, eventually I'm going to get that one negative review where someone was like, this was terrible, it didn't work for me, and I'm going to go, aw man, that sucks. So every time a new good one rolls in, I'm like, yay, this is great. I don't get a lot of feedback from most customers. It's like someone will buy something, and then I never hear from them again until maybe they buy something again later. But, so it's great when I have, reviewers or bloggers or people I know running around, especially with the Signet, because that's, my baby. it's always good to hear that it works.
I'm curious, I know for us as, sex toy reviewers, sometimes, masturbation or even just partnered sex or whatever, you have a moment where you go into reviewer brain and, kind of takes you out of the moment and you're thinking too analytically about it or whatever, and for a second it becomes work.
More than a second often.
Yeah.
The duration of my orgasm. Thanks, sex toy reviewing.
Yeah. There have been times where I'm fucking someone and I'm just so the curve is really good for, oh my god, this is a penis attached to a human. No one cares. I cannot Yelp review this human.
But will it hit my A spot, though? Only time will tell.
Adding comments on their Tinder profile. Really good G spot curve there.
I wish it was just a little girthier. Oh no, you can't say that, can you?
But I'm curious, do you ever wind up in, sex toy designer head? Does that ever happen where you're just oh, but it would be great if right now I had, and then all of a sudden designs start happening and you're like, wait, we're naked, there's naked things. Is that something you struggle with too?
The people at home can't see this blank look on my face, because what I'm trying to do in my head is figure out if I've left that design point since I started this project, and I'm not sure if I have. I get real bad, business brain when I go to conferences and stuff, and it has been really annoying, but also very fulfilling and helpful.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing where it's this is kind of cool, but it's also a part of me now that will never go away.
I mean, yeah, it is annoying in some sense, but I also find it really fun, and I have the fuck buddy who, like, pounds me with the double treble on the regs, and he is said to be, he's not a sex toy reviewer, but he's kind of gotten into that brain space from hanging out with me, and, like, he told me at one point, he was like, man, I wish my dick was shaped like this thing, like, how great would it be if my dick was just, like, a prehensile S-curve? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but also just, like, your body's great, like, it's fine. But speaking of dicks, that's my favorite segue. Anytime I can use that, it's my favorite.
Just, can that just be the business card I hand people? Speaking of dicks.
That is what you do. I get paid to speak of dicks. I noticed you tweeted recently something about how people ask you if one of your toys is, like, designed after you. Like, what's up with that?
I don't know, because one, feels really rude to me.
Yeah.
Two, I'd be really creeped out if a bunch of people were fucking themselves with a copy of my penis. And also, I feel like it would creep them out if they found out that's what it was. Like, there's no part of a situation where I design something based on me that is okay in my head. It just doesn't work. And then people ask me about it. So I figured out at Sex Down South, when it happened with almost every person who came to the table, that what I can do is shake my head, gesture at any random toy on the table, and then waggle my eyebrows a little bit. And it confuses the fuck out of people. It's wonderful to, and like I said in the tweet, to anyone who saw me point at a paddle and do this, I'm not sorry. I am the guy with the flat, wide, kind of like, you know, 0.75 inches thick, 4 inches wide, 11 inches long, and with a weird curve at the base. That's me. So, if you were wondering, yes, it's paddle-shaped, but,
Can you imagine? Kate, I feel like
that'd be really useful, but I also feel
like
terrible.
That would be great, but, like, how would you blow it?
I'm a backwards beaver.
Okay, you're right. I was very excited about that. I was like, can you imagine fucking someone who could just take it out and start thwacking you with it? And then you said, but how would you blow it? And now I'm like, oh no, I could
like
not.
Like a harmonica.
Date this woman. Yeah, see
such
you.
A vivid image. Oh no.
See, I'll just settle for getting hit with dick-shaped things, thanks.
Oh yeah, much better that way.
Yeah, like,
a dick can be a paddle. I don't think a paddle can be a dick.
I don't think so.
Maybe one day. Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. My Fuck That this week is how much I hated the Tantus Plunge. I was pretty bummed that I ended up hating it so much. It's a it's a paddle that Tantus made where the handle is a dildo. And it's just not good at either of those things. Like, I know people who have liked it, for sure. But I am just not a fan. Because, like, the dildo part has a hole in it, which is fairly standard for the handle of a paddle, so that you can, like, hang it or, like, put a wrist strap on it. But you don't want a hole in a dildo you're sticking in your holes. Like, that's just going to collect all kinds of fluids. And also, like, the paddle part was very flimsy and stingy. And I know that Fun Factory has a new one that's a paddle-dildo hybrid, and I know that you also make some, so I'm glad that this up-and-coming category of the sex toy world is being broadened. I think that the first one from Tantus was a disappointment for me, but I look forward to finding one that I actually do like. Kenton, what's your Fuck That?
My Fuck That is stealing designs from other people. Right. Ooh. Now I'm particularly beefed about it, but it's like, it is such hard work to learn how to make something, to learn how to design something. You have to learn about what you're designing it for, so, you know, you get anatomy knowledge, you get material knowledge, you get knowledge of the processes that turn the materials into shapes. You have to study so many different things, and then it's just the work of coming up with an idea, testing the idea, the time and money put into prototyping the idea, making the first one, trying it with someone, trying it with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the extra work to remake it if and when it ends up not being quite perfect or up to your standards. And then some asshole comes along and goes, hey, that looks cool. I'm going to make the same thing and give it a shitty name. it's not okay. And it's so bizarre that people support that to me. Because someone has created something cool. And they need money to keep creating cool things. But you're funneling money into someone who didn't create anything. And eventually, if that is the standard, people stop making cool new things. It can't be sustained.
Yeah. You know what it's called when you steal a sex toy idea? Plagiarism.
Well, that just made it all worse.
I'm sorry to derail your serious and angry and solemn rant with a terrible pun. But that's what we do here on the Dildorks.
Puns are important.
Yeah. Bex, so what's your fuck that?
My fuck that is people who, like, show up in the sex toy industry and have never owned or seen a sex toy before, it would seem, and think they are revolutionizing the industry by doing absolutely nothing new.
I just discovered what a penis is and realized you could put things around it. Watch this buzzy motor that I've stuck in there do amazing things. You've never seen anything like it. I call it a dick ring.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so upsetting because you wind up with shitty products or dangerous products. Or sometimes, if they're real ambitious, dangerous shitty products.
My favorite.
Look at you, you go-getter.
Let's turn it around. Kenton, what is your fuck yeah?
All the awesome people who make crazy cool things. Mm-hmm. I think there's, like, since joining the sex toy design world, I've been so welcomed by big and small companies alike, talking to all sorts of really cool people, either online or at conventions. And there are so many awesome people out there making amazing stuff. And so far, they have been just universally friendly and welcoming. And it's been absolutely delightful. Everyone's so full of information and tips, and I want to, like, just keep being a part of that. I think it's so amazing.
Awesome. That's good to hear. I don't know why I said that in such a creepy voice.
Yes, we've got him. He's a part of us. One of us.
Welcome to
one of us.
Bex, what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is creativity in design of spanking implements.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just using things that aren't spanking implements as spanking implements.
Oof.
Which I think has been your fuck yeah once before.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I love when I first saw Kenton's paddles and he, like, showed me the knife design and was like, and when you hold it sideways, I was like, what? And so I really love, like, and I have the cutting board paddle that you got me that I love.
Uh-huh.
I have a leash that my sir has for me that he hits me with the handle of, which, by the way, is fucking brutal.
He really unleashes on you.
I really like, it's so easy to be like, I'm gonna make a thing to hit a butt with, so it will be a broad and flat thing that you can hit a butt with. and just the creativity of being like, but what if you hit with the side, or what if you change the material, or what if we take this other random thing that looks kind of mean and hit you with it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool, and it always makes me smile.
Yeah, my fuck yeah is a similar thing. I enjoy discovering the different types of bruises and marks that different impact play toys can leave. And, like, speaking of creativity, just the other day, my fuck buddy hit me with a hanger rail. We were looking up on the internet to see if there is, in fact, a technical term for a hanger rail from a closet, but I think it's just called a hanger rail. And I was really intrigued by the bruise it left on me. It was sort of like a caning type of bruise. And I, like, I'm such a kinkster, but I, like, really enjoy finding out what kind of mark a new toy will leave on me. And you brought us all these, like, demo things to show us, and I've just been hitting myself up and down my arms with them, and I'm just covered in marks now, and I'm a very happy little kinkster. So, Kenton, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorics. Where can folks find you online?
I am at FunKitToys on Instagram and Twitter, funkittoys.tumblr.com, and of course funkittoys.com, where you actually buy things.
Excellent, thank you. My name is Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Bex, where are you at?
I am Bex. I write at BexTalkSex.com, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BexTalkSex. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at TheDildorks.com, at TheDildorks on Instagram and Twitter, and search The Dildorks on all your favorite podcast apps, and while you're there, leave us a rating and a review. It helps people find us, and it makes me smile.
Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you also to Protodome for letting us use his theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom, as our Nope. It's not his theme song. It's our theme song.
It's a theme song.
It would be weird if every time Protodome walks into a room, it just starts playing, I Want You in My Bedroom.
Can I have a personal theme song?
The thing
song?
Is, if that happened, like this person walked into the room and that just started playing, would you?
I mean, yeah.
Right? Like, mysterious, don't know where the sound is coming from. It didn't just come on. It's just this person walks in and music magically starts playing. I think I'd go back home with him.
I mean, he's a nice dude. He let us use his song as our theme song, so that's pretty much all I know about him, but I like him.
Yeah.
Thank you also to Amy Gardner at @starboots_ on Twitter for doing our art for us, and is that the last thing?
That is the last thing. Live your sexy, dorky life.
I'm getting there.
Bye.
Wait! I hate when you do that! It's like that moment when the elevator door closes and I'm like, no!
Don't do it without me!
So until next time,
my cat
folks,
and I will do it.
Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
I can't answer that. Stop. when it's cold outside and you ask Siri how cold is it outside, sometimes she says brr, but she says brr. Like, she makes this, like, weird-ass noise. He sent me a link to a video, and I just wanted to play it for you because we were talking about it.
What's the temperature outside?
It's 4 degrees outside.
Siri's trying to tell my joke when it's cold outside. I say brr. Look what you say.
That's not a joke. I don't know why you've mistaken that for a joke.
I'm just gonna start saying that to people. I don't know why you've mistaken that as a joke. However,
do you remember when I got that OkCupid message that was like,
yes.
Do you like Skittles? Do you want to taste the rainbow with me? No pun intended. And I was like, what pun?
And I got so mad.
Yeah. For my question about comparing toys to your anatomy, I had written a note that just says, your dick? Question mark? Journalism life.
Pretty sure that's not most people's journalism life.
Somebody's gotta do it. Have you seen this picture of Baby Bex dressed as a sassy wizard?
No, but my life is so enriched now.
Yeah. It's my favorite thing.
You are a very good sassy wizard.
One day I dream of growing up to be grown up Bex, dressed as a sassy wizard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that happens, I need pictures.
Yeah, I got you.
I feel like there's actually not as much overlap between my vlog readers and the podcast listeners as I would have predicted there might be.
Cool.
So it's fine. I'll have people being like, you mentioned this thing for 2 seconds on the podcast, tell me more about that. And I'm like, oh, I've written 12 blog posts about that. Okay.
My fuck that is... Shit, I lost it. Hold on.
It's okay.
I'll fix it in post.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, do you want me to, like, really hit you? Because it's got a bit of a bite to it. What the fuck was that?
That was my phone. Did someone Facebook message me?
It was perfectly coordinated. I felt whack! Like, I was like, is your arm a xylophone?
My fuck yeah is xylophone arms.
Did you, Maybe, let me try the other side, see if that feels different.
It's not going to make the noise again, though. I hate to break it to you.
It does feel different.
That's so cool. This is cool as fuck.
Yeah, this one is so off-weighted.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
I like those, though.
Same piece of wood.
Turn it sideways.
Fuck, that's good. It's really good, and I really like it. I'm going to have fun editing that. It's going to be a whole bunch of spanking noises. Cool.
That could be the blooper reel, just endless spanking noises.
I feel like I've perfected this motion now. Like, whatever muscle I need to do this, I have strongly developed said muscle.
It's going to be a little bit of tricep. We'll be right back.